this study is about the Sabbath day. Let me ask 9 questions for you to consider before we begin our study. Number 1, what's the difference between the law of God and the law of Moses? Number 2, who did God give the Sabbath command to? To everyone or to Israel only? Number 3, when did God give the Sabbath day as a command? Number 4, what was the purpose of the Sabbath command? In other words, why was it given? Number 5, what sort of things did God require that people do when keeping the Sabbath? Number 6, is it possible and scriptural to separate a law from the penalty for violating the law? Number 7, were the Ten Commandments a covenant? Number 8, 2 Corinthians 3 refers to something called a ministry of death. What is being referred to by this statement? Number 9, is it possible to keep just part of the Old Testament law without keeping all of it? The Sabbath day was the day of worship during the Old Testament times. When Jesus came to the earth, he himself lived under the Old Testament law of Moses. Galatians 4 verse 4. When he died on the cross, the scriptures teach that a new covenant began with a new law. This new law required worship on the first day of the week because this was the day which Jesus resurrected. A very popular thought today is the idea that the Ten Commandments are still binding on men today. Since the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, it's assumed that the Sabbath day is also binding. Groups like the Seventh-day Adventist point out that the Sabbath day is Saturday, the seventh day of the week, and they insist this is the day men should worship God. Others believe the Sabbath day was changed to Sunday, and they believe when they worship on Sunday, they're keeping the Sabbath day holy. Well, who's right about all of this? Let's turn our attention to the Scriptures and see what the Word of God has to say. First, what day is the Sabbath day? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." The Sabbath day then was Saturday, the seventh day of the week, not Sunday, the first day of the week. Second, who gave the Sabbath law? Well, of course, God gave the Sabbath law, but he gave it through Moses. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses your servant." Look closely at John chapter 7, verse 19. These people were trying to kill Jesus. In trying to kill Jesus, these people were breaking the law. The law which they were breaking, of course, was the law of Moses, the Decalogue. In other words, the law of Moses included the Ten Commandments which said, "Thou shalt not kill." Listen carefully to these following passages. In Matthew 15, verse 4, "God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." God is the one that commanded them, honor your father and mother. But Mark 7, verse 10, "For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." In other words, God commanded and Moses commanded. In other words, God commanded through Moses. Compare these scriptures. Luke 2, verse 22, the Bible says, "When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now Luke 2, verse 23. "As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Now these passages, when compared with one another, clearly demonstrate there is no difference between the law of the Lord and the law of Moses. There is no difference whatsoever between the law of God and the law of Moses. That's very important. God gave the law, including the Sabbath, through Moses. in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Verse 11, Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Verse 12, Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Verse 21, Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Now, when you compare all of these verses, Ezra verses 6, 11, 12, and 21, you discover that the law of God and the law of Moses are being used interchangeably because they are the same law. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Verse 18, he read from the book of the law of God. Now, when comparing these verses, in Nehemiah chapter 8, we see in verse 1, the book of the law of Moses. But then, verse 8, it's called the book of the law of God. They're being used interchangeably because the law of Moses and the law of God are the same law. So, God gave the Sabbath law, but he gave it through Moses. It's called the law of Moses. Number 3, to whom was the Sabbath given? Was it given to everybody or just to Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. If you continue reading, you'll read the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5. Verse 6 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 12 says, observe Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm reading verse 9. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So the Sabbath, you see, was given not to all nations, but to Israel, who had been slaves in the land of Egypt. Number 4, were Gentiles ever under the Old Testament law of Moses, and were they required to keep the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath day? Deuteronomy chapter 4, I start reading with verse 6. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live in the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. Now, question. What's the answer to the question asked in verse 8? What other nation besides Israel had the law, which included the Ten Commandments, written on tablets of stone in verse 13? The answer is, there was no other nation. The Gentiles did not receive these commandments and this covenant. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves." Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God." So the Jews, you see, had an advantage over Gentile nations because they received the law of God, the law of Moses, same thing, which included the Ten Commandments. Number 5. When was the Sabbath day given? Notice carefully Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Notice carefully, he rested. That's past tense. God had already rested prior to blessing the seventh day. He rested first, in other words, and he blessed the seventh day later. Well, how much later after he rested did he bless the seventh day? Notice Nehemiah chapter 9. We learn the answer in verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "You came down also on Mount Sinai, and spoke with them from heaven, and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, laws, by the hand of Moses your servant." Now listen, no one kept the Sabbath before God revealed it to Israel in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. Number 6. Why was the Sabbath day given? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15 contains the answer. Listen, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So the Sabbath helped the people remember they were resting from their labors as slaves in the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So, the purpose of the Sabbath was to serve as a sign between God and Israel. Number 7. What did Sabbath keeping require? There were several things God expected Israel to do when they kept the Sabbath. First, they were not to work at all. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. Second, no cooking. Exodus 16:23. Third, they were to kindle no fire. Exodus 35, verse 3. Fourth, they were to bear no burdens. Jeremiah 17:21-22. Fifth, they were to offer two lambs in sacrifice on the Sabbath day. Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. These are the regulations for the Sabbath of Exodus 20, verse 8. No one keeps this Sabbath by these rules today. Even Sabbath keepers who claim they keep the Sabbath pick and choose which Old Testament laws they want to observe. This is wrong according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 and Galatians 5 verse 3. In other words, if you're going to keep any of the Old Testament law, you have to keep all of it. Number 8. What was the penalty for violating the Sabbath? Listen carefully. Exodus chapter 31, verses 14 and 15. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Listen, you cannot have a law without the penalty that goes with violating that law. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. Listen carefully. Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.'" Jesus quotes here the fifth of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. The penalty went with the command. The penalty for dishonoring your father and mother was death. When men left off the death penalty, Jesus said, "You transgress the commandment of God." If the Sabbath of Exodus 20 is still binding, and if you do not enforce the death penalty on those that break the Sabbath, then you violate the command of God. That's what these passages are teaching. Number 9. Were the Ten Commandments a covenant? Exodus chapter 34, verses 27-28 answers this question. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel.' So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13 says, "So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tables of stone." So yes, the Ten Commandments were a covenant. Number 10. Was the covenant made with Israel? Listen to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 9. "Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt." Now verse 21, same chapter. "And there I have made a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." So yes, Israel had a covenant. It was the Ten Commandments, and it was made only with Israel when they were brought out of the land of Egypt. Number 11. Was this covenant, the one that God made with Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt, was it taken away? I'm reading Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13. Listen carefully. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and the lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." Now, let's review what we have learned. The Ten Commandments were a covenant, according to Exodus 34, verse 28. This covenant was made only with Israel. Deuteronomy 5, verses 2 through 3 specifically says it was not even made with the forefathers of Israel. It was made with Israel. This covenant was made at Horeb when Israel was led out of Egypt. 1 Kings 8, verse 9 and 21. This covenant containing the Ten Commandments, which was made at Horeb when Israel was led out of Egypt, was growing old and ready to vanish away. Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 13. Now listen to Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. The apostle says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it's written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Now, Hagar in this story symbolized the Ten Commandment covenant. Christians are specifically told to cast out this covenant and do not try to keep it along with the New Testament laws. Read Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 7 in connection with this when you have time. Number 12. How does the New Testament view the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are referred to in the New Testament as a ministry of death in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All of the commandments in the Ten Commandments had a death penalty associated with them, and that's why it's called a covenant of death or a ministry of death. Let me illustrate this for you. Let's go through each one of the Ten Commandments and demonstrate that the penalty for violating each command was the death penalty. The first command was to have no other gods. If you have another god, you should be put to death. Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 9. The second command, have no graven images. If you have a graven image, the death penalty was invoked. Exodus 32, 24 through 28. The third commandment, you shall not take God's name in vain. If you do, you must die. Leviticus 24, verse 16. The fourth commandment was the Sabbath. If you violate the Sabbath, it's the death penalty. Exodus 31, verse 14. The fifth commandment, honor your parents. Jesus himself said the penalty for violating this was death. Matthew 15, verse 4. The sixth commandment, you shall not kill. The death penalty was invoked if you did. Numbers 35, verse 16. The seventh commandment was adultery. The penalty for violating this command was death, Leviticus 20, verse 10. The eighth command, thou shalt not steal. The penalty for violating this was death if the theft involved stealing a human being, Exodus 21, verse 16. Ninth, do not bear false witness. The penalty for this could be the death penalty, Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 through 21. The tenth commandment was thou shalt not covet. And depending on what you coveted, the death penalty could be invoked here. Joshua 7, verses 21 through 26. So the Old Testament was a covenant of death. It was harsh and offered very little hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 13, a clear contrast is made between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is specifically named in verse 14, and the New Testament is specifically named in verse 6. The Old Testament was called the letter because it was written on stone tablets on Mount Sinai, verse 3, a clear reference to the Ten Commandments. The New Testament is called the Spirit because it was given on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, verse 3. Now notice the following contrast. The Old Testament was written on stones according to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 7. But the New Testament was written on the heart according to verse 3. The Old Testament kills, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, but the New Testament gives life, verse 6. The Old Testament, Ten Commandments, was a ministry of death, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. But the New Testament is the ministry of the Spirit, verse 8. The Old Testament Ten Commandments had glory, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 9, but the New Testament exceeds in glory, verse 9. The Old Testament Ten Commandments had glory that was passing away, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 11 and 13. But the New Testament has glory that remains, verse 11. The Old Testament Ten Commandments had no boldness, verse 13, but the New Testament, great boldness. Men's hearts were veiled when the Ten Commandments were given, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 and 15, but the New Testament takes the veil away, verses 14 and verse 16. The Old Testament Ten Commandments had no liberty, verse 17, but the New Testament offers liberty, verse 17. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 10, that the Old Testament had no glory in this respect. In other words, when compared with the New Testament, the Old Testament had no glory. Remember, this refers to the Old Testament covenant that was engraved on stone tablets. If what was passing away was glorious, verse 11, in other words, the Old Testament was in the process of passing away. It was only temporary from the very beginning. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." Now verse 19 says, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." What we learn from this, then, is the Old Testament was given until Christ should come. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "What remains is much more glorious." The Old Testament passes away, but the New Testament remains and is more glorious. Number 13, is the Sabbath day still binding today? I'm reading Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. The Bible says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." This law was wiped out, taken out of the way. It's the same law that was nailed to the cross, and it's the law that required the Sabbath day. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." Verse 24 says, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." Notice the contrast then between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, which included the Ten Commandments, is old, 2 Corinthians 3:14. But the New Testament is new, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. The Old Testament, including the Ten Commandments, was faulty. Hebrews 8, verse 7. The New Testament, perfect. James 1, 25. The Old Testament Ten Commandments were obsolete. Hebrews 8, 13. The New Testament is new. Hebrews 8, 13. The Old Testament was given at Mount Sinai. Nehemiah chapter 9, 13 through 14. The New Testament started in Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, 2 through 4. The Old Testament was given only to Israel. Deuteronomy 5, verses 1 through 3. The New Testament is offered to everyone. Mark 16, 15 through 16. The Old Testament had animal sacrifices. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. The New Testament has Jesus as the sacrifice. Hebrews 10, verse 10. The Old Testament was dedicated with animal blood. Hebrews 9, 19 through 20. The New Testament dedicated by the blood of Jesus. Matthew 26, 28. The Old Testament had a yearly remembrance of sin. Hebrews 10, verse 3. The New Testament, sins are forgiven. Hebrews 8, verse 12. The Old Testament was given till the seed should come. Galatians 3, verse 19. But the New Testament is unto the end of the age. Matthew 28, verse 20. John 12, verse 48. The Old Testament was taken away. Hebrews 10, verse 9. The New Testament is established. Hebrews 10, verse 9. The Old Testament had a Levitical priesthood which could not save. Hebrews 7, verse 11. The New Testament has the priesthood of Christ Himself, which is unchangeable. Hebrews 7, verse 24. The Bible says concerning the Old Testament, we are dead to this covenant. Romans 7, verses 4 and 6. But we are married to Christ under the New Testament. Romans 7, verses 4 and 6. Gentiles were without God during the Old Testament days. Ephesians 2, 11 through 12. Gentiles are brought near under the New Testament era. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Under the Old Testament age, Gentiles were aliens. Ephesians 2, verse 12. But Gentiles are fellow citizens when they obey the gospel. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Under the Old Testament age, men could not be justified by their sins by the law of Moses. Acts 13, verse 39. But under the New Testament, we are justified. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Galatians 2, verse 16. Under the Old Testament, if men try to go back to that law, they are fallen from grace. Galatians 5, verse 4. But if we remain faithful under the New Testament, we're justified by faith. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Now let me illustrate what's happening. In many ways, the laws of our United States are very similar to the laws of Great Britain. And yet we may truthfully say, we do not live under British law. At one time, we did live under British law, but we fought the Great Revolutionary War. We won the war. The 13 colonies became the United States, and they had their own law now. They're not living under British law, even though some of the new laws were very similar to British law. Likewise, in many ways, laws of the New Testament are very similar to laws of the Old Testament. And yet, we may truthfully say, we do not live under the Old Testament Ten Commandments. Number 14, can we keep part of the Old Testament law? In other words, can we keep the Ten Commandments, but not the animal sacrifices and stoning people to death and all of the other things that go with the Old Testament? Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now, the Old Testament had more than just the Ten Commandments. It had circumcision, Leviticus 12, verse 3. It had the Passover, Leviticus 23. It had the Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23. The Feast of Weeks. It had animal sacrifices, a Levitical priesthood, food regulations, Leviticus 11. We cannot just keep the Ten Commandments. That's wrong. You have to keep it all or none of it. And so, no, men cannot pick and choose which parts of the Old Testament they want and then leave the rest. Number 15, can men be saved today while keeping the Old Testament law? Let me read Galatians 4, verse 30. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." Galatians 5, verse 2 through 4. "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised. He's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Taking these two passages together, Galatians 4, verse 30, and Galatians 5, verse 3, we see a new idea. Not only can men not be saved by the law, but men today cannot be saved while keeping the law. This new rule does not apply to men who lived while the law was in force, for example, Moses, David, and Jesus, but it does apply to you, verse 2, that is, to people living in the New Testament era. Number 16. If we're not under the Ten Commandments, does that mean we may steal, commit adultery, and all the other things? Well, 9 of the original Ten Commandments are restated in the New Testament law. The reason it's wrong to kill today, to commit adultery, or to steal today, is because the New Testament forbids these things in the New Testament law. However, the command to keep the Sabbath was never brought over into the New Testament as a command for Christians. Today, Christians are to assemble on the first day of the week to break bread and remember the Lord's death. Acts 20, verse 7. The first day of the week is called the Lord's Day. Revelation 1, verse 10. This day was chosen by God for worship because the first day is the day Jesus resurrected from the grave. Mark 16, verse 9. What have we learned in this study then? We've learned that the Ten Commandments were a covenant which God made with Israel alone. Gentiles were not given the Ten Commandments. We learned the Sabbath day was especially given to Israel and just to Israel as a sign of the covenant that God made with them. And we also learned that the Ten Commandments were a ministry of death, 2 Corinthians 3. And this was taken away, nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Many people today are surprised to learn Christians are not under the Ten Commandments. We are under a new law, however, the New Testament law. This new law has many commands which are similar to the Ten Commandments, but similarity is not identity. In other words, similarity does not mean we are under the Ten Commandment law. The New Testament law and the Ten Commandments are clearly two different laws. Today, we cannot kill, we cannot commit adultery, we cannot steal or do any of these other things because the New Testament teaches against these things, not because the Ten Commandments say, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Furthermore, the day of worship for Christians today is not the Sabbath. It is the first day of the week, the day Jesus resurrected from the dead to become our living Savior. Thank God for this wonderful Savior and sacrifice.